Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
And now, America's number one show on pop culture and politics. This is the Michael Medved Show.
And another great day, another great week, in fact, in this greatest nation on God's green earth. It is a great nation with a lot to celebrate. What am I talking about? Well, I'm talking about some of the results from the midterm elections. But the overwhelming result is this, as reported by Associated Press. There was no violence. Many candidates who denied the legitimacy of previous elections lost. And then they quietly conceded. And few listened when President Donald Trump tried to stoke baseless allegations of electoral fraud. It is good news. We had and are in the midst of, in fact, a smooth, non-violent, non-controversial transition of power. Are we not? The House hasn't been decided yet. There are 218 members of the House of Representatives that are needed for a majority. Right now, the GOP has 212. So it can get there with only six more wins. They just notched another win in Oregon in a district that had long been Democratic. It's very important to look at that GOP success, which we will in a moment. The Democrats need 12 seats. So it's the odds are very, very high that there will be a Republican Congress. There are more conversations than ever before that the new speaker, if the Republicans do take charge, may not be Kevin McCarthy. The problem is, if it's not Kevin McCarthy, the Democrats have the same sort of problem. Well, Nancy Pelosi is such a sort of given. If she retires from the House, and she is likely to, particularly if the Democrats don't win control of the House, who is next? Adam Schiff is one of the candidates, the congressman from California, who led the charges on both of the failed Trump impeachments, which were not great triumphs for Democrats in any way. And much more likely is Hakeem Jeffries, who is the congressman from New York. He would be the first black leader of any party for a major party in Congress. And that would be something noteworthy. We will see, because, again, nobody knows who the speaker's party is going to be, let alone who the speaker is going to be. There was this decision in Oregon, in the 5th Congressional District of Oregon, which had been Democratic for a very long time. It was flipped to the Republicans. So there may not have been much of a red wave nationwide, but there was a little bit of a wave right here in this district, which extends between the Portland suburbs and the beautiful city of Bend, Oregon. And the winner is the first Latina, Lori Chavez Derrimer, who was the one that opened the U.S. House seat. And the reason the House seat was open was because the moderate Democrat who had held it for years, for seven terms, was a guy named Kurt Schrader, who angered Democrats because on a lot of issues that are important to them involving spending and investigations and impeachment and all of that, he was a centrist. He was not somebody who was way out on the left wing. So he lost to a left-wing candidate. And that's something that doomed the Democrats. The left-wing candidate was named Jamie McLeod Skinner, hyphenated name. And that Democrat lost because they had done what happened in a number of other Republican districts. Right across the river from Oregon, in the 3rd District in Washington, for people who didn't follow it, the Democrat won for exactly parallel reasons. There had been a six-term member of Congress who was terrific, and I'm a very, very big fan of Jamie Herrera Butler. And she was one of those people who got elected and reelected, and this was an overwhelmingly Republican district. And she was very popular. She was one of the 10 members of the House who voted to impeach President Trump, the second impeachment. And that led to her being challenged by a guy named Joe Kent, who was very extreme, who wanted to see the death penalty imposed on Dr. Fauci, who wanted to end all immigration, legal and illegal, to the United States, who basically said that he had a three-pronged program. This is the Republican nominee who beat Jamie Herrera Butler in the primary. And his three-pronged program was to push for obstruction, investigation, and then impeachment. And he wanted to impeach everybody. He wanted to impeach Kamala and President Biden, of course, Merrick Garland. In any event, he lost. He lost Joe Kent. Why? Because he was running against a more moderate Democrat. It's the same thing in a mirror image as what happened in the fifth district in Oregon, which is where they got rid of the moderate, successful, long-term Congressman Kurt Schrader. He was beaten by a radical progressive. And guess what? Then the seat became vulnerable. Right now, lots of people, and we are certainly going to talk about it, and we will take your calls, by the way. What should President Trump say tomorrow night? He's speaking at 9 p.m. Eastern Time, so 6 p.m. Pacific Time. He's speaking from, no surprise here, Mar-a-Lago. He's not going to be stopped by the tropical storm because Nicole, the tropical storm, was downgraded to the hurricane was downgraded to a tropical storm. So he's speaking. And he had just finished presiding over the wedding of his daughter, Tiffany, in Mar-a-Lago. And now this is a birth announcement, the birth of his campaign for president. Or could it be something else? Could he be faking everybody out? The invitation went out on Thursday night last week. It is set again for tomorrow at 9 p.m. We will be following that very directly. What should he say? Because it seems to me that there is a tremendous amount of material, including material from lots and lots of Trump loyalists, people who have been right with him on everything, who are basically saying that, look, he deserves most of the blame for the very disappointing Republican performance. There was no red wave. They may end up taking over the House, but if they do so, they will be having the smallest House majority installed, the smallest switch in their favor, in the favor of the out party, of any modern president. And one of the things that they bring up, Senator Coons of Delaware, who holds a seat Joe Biden once held, says that, look, if you look at this, no Democratic president has done as well as Biden in a midterm election since John Kennedy in 1962. Now, is Biden any kind of version of John Kennedy? Well, let's hope he can channel a little bit of that Kennedy magic when he's meeting with Xi Jinping. A three-hour meeting? Yeah, that's what happened. We will be talking about that with Ilan Berman, also talking about how does the war in Ukraine end? There seems to be more momentum and success for the Ukrainians and Zelensky, but how will that war end? And speaking of how that war will end, what is the future of the Republican Party? What does the midterm election change about the direction that we're going? We'll be talking to Matt Continetti, who has written a 100-year history of the conservative movement and has a deep and wise perspective on all of this. We will be right back on the MedVed Show, 1-800-955-1776. The very latest on that very close governor's race. Still counting votes in Maricopa County, Arizona. We'll be right back.
Your daily dose of debate.
Give me more.
The Michael MedVed Show.
Now's the time to join the millions of Americans who have changed the quality of their sleep with MyPillow. MyPillow is now offering a BOGO extravaganza on multiple MyPillow products. Right now, get buy one, get one free pricing on MyPillow bed sheets, Giza Elegance MyPillows, six-piece towel sets, and roll and go anywhere MyPillows, and yes, so much more. Just go to the Radio Listeners Specials page at MyPillow.com and use the promo code MEDVED. That's MyPillow.com, promo code MEDVED, or call 1-800-320-6280. That's 800-320-6280. Don't miss this incredible BOGO extravaganza at MyPillow.com. Buy one, get one free on select products. Remember, that's promo code MEDVED or 1-800-320-6280.
Well, it's autumn, and if you're going to go out and look at some of the great colors of the leaves and enjoy the season, well, you get more active, and you know what? Maybe some aches and pains. I had a sore arm for a while, but fortunately, I also have Relief Factor. And more to the point, my wife, who is always more active than I am, she uses Relief Factor as well. It is a great, wholly natural, very healthy, scientifically proven pain reliever. It is... you have nothing to lose but your pain and the whole world to gain. And right now, Relief Factor is still discounted at only $19.95 for what's called a quick start. So about a dollar a day to see if you can get out of pain in just a couple of weeks. And for the cost of a cup of coffee a day, you can get out and stay out of pain. Check it out at michaelmedved.com. Look for the banner for Relief Factor.
First, we decide where we want to go. Then we need to know the best way to get there. Hi, my name's Adam Baratta. I'm the owner of Advantage Gold. We're the highest rated precious metals firm in the country. We teach people how to own physical gold and silver. Now, we've won the Best of TrustLink Award 4 years in a row because we educate our clients on how to buy gold and silver the right way. We don't pay celebrity spokespeople millions of dollars. We'd rather pass that value on to you. Call 800-900-8000 and speak with one of our experts. We'll send you a free gold kit along with my latest number one national best-selling book, The Great Devaluation. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. Get the best information, the best process, the best service, the best value. Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000. Call 800-900-8000.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Consult with your financial advisor before investing.
Call 800-900-8000.
Hey, y'all, Jeff Foxworthy here. Now, if you've ever found yourself repeating the same thing over and over for 75 years, you might be Smokey Bear.
Only you can prevent wildfires.
That's why I'm filling in for Smokey to switch things up, because there's a lot more to say. And I should know, because my grandfather was a firefighter. And one of the things he taught me is that the people that love the outdoors the most are often the ones accidentally starting wildfires, which means always BYOB. No, bring your own bucket to the campfire. And be extra careful with things like burning yard trimmings. Don't just walk away, or chances are you might be starting a wildfire. So for the love of the outdoors, go to SmokeyBear.com to learn more about wildfire prevention. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
And on the Michael Medved show, the update from Arizona, which is the only major race aside from the Georgia race for the U.S. Senate, which is between, of course, Raphael Warnock, the incumbent senator, the Democrat, and the Republican challenger, pro football and college football legend Herschel Walker. And in Arizona, Katie Hobbs, who was the Secretary of State, which means she's in charge of voting in the state, is leading by about 25,000 votes. So it's close, but it's more than a 1% difference. That means that if that difference holds up, with 93% of the votes counted so far, this evening, sometime after dark, they're expecting another big drop of votes from Maricopa County, the most populous county in the state. It is a county that recently has gone in the direction of Democrats, used to be overwhelmingly Republican. It did carry a majority in Maricopa County for Joe Biden, which is why he won the state of Arizona. In any event, with 93% counted, it's for Katie Hobbs, the Democrat, 1,213,000. For Carrie Lake, the Republican, 1,188,000. So you can see that there is that difference there. Now, this would be very significant because Carrie Lake would be the only winner if she wins, and the odds are against her winning right now, but it is still too close to call with literally hundreds of thousands of votes remaining to be counted. What they're saying is that she would have to get 58%, perhaps 60%, of the votes that haven't been counted yet in a county where she hasn't been winning a majority. She would need to get 58% or 60% of those votes in order to make up the difference of the 25,000 votes that she's behind right now. And again, if she did win, she would be the only one of the Trump-supported, Trump-endorsed candidates who actually pulled out a victory while emphasizing the issue of the stolen election, the allegedly stolen election, which really proved to be an electoral loser. I mean, the people who emphasized that issue and who took it to the bank, including Lee Zeldin, who was the Republican candidate for governor in New York, the idea of the American people wanting to replay the election of 2020 and trying to make the election of 2020 a big issue in the election of 2022, and it's expected that President Trump will try to make it a big issue again when he announces his candidacy for 2024, which is due tomorrow night, that may not work at all. If there is a switch in the Arizona race, and all of a sudden Carrie Lake is ahead and it's looking like she's going to win, boy, you can really imagine that Trump would emphasize that and try to take away the sting of all the other losses in New Hampshire and in Wisconsin and around the country, where people who were running with fervent belief that President Trump had actually won the election 2 years ago, that those people, I mean, crashed and burned. There just wasn't much success there. That was particularly true. We were talking before about Joe Kent, who had become a favorite on Fox News and lost a race that he was heavily favored to win simply because it's a Republican district. And he ended up losing to a Democratic candidate who billed herself as a moderate Democrat, and billed a candidate named Marie Grussbauer Perez, and she and her husband own a car repair shop in Skamania County, Washington, which is one of the smallest by population counties in the state. Today, President Biden is on the other side of the world. He has did a news conference following a three-hour meeting with the president of China, Xi Jinping. Remember, Biden had gotten a bottomless Pinocchio's honor from the fact-checkers at Washington Post because he had said he had spent more time traveling with Xi Jinping, 17 hours, he claimed, and that it isn't true. He hasn't even spent that long traveling to see Xi Jinping. In any event, they know each other. They apparently get along. And President Biden spoke about his conversation with the Chinese president and said this. Let's go to clip 10.
We had an open and candid conversation about our intentions and our priorities. It was clear, he was clear and I was clear, that we'll defend American interests and values, promote universal human rights, and stand up for the international order and work in lockstep with our allies and partners. We're going to compete vigorously, but I'm not looking for conflict. I'm looking to manage this competition responsibly. And I want to make sure that every country abides by the international rules of the road. We discussed that. Our One China policy has not changed. We oppose unilateral change in the status quo by either side, and we're committed to maintaining the peace and stability in the Taiwan Straits. It was also clear that China and the United States should be able to work together where we can to solve global challenges that require every nation to do its part.
And meanwhile, on another side of the world, the other side of Asia, President Zelensky took a visit to the crucial liberated city of Kherson. I mean, the damage that the Russians had done there was extensive, but CBS reported on President Zelensky's visit. This is clip 15.
So this is the road to Kherson. We've been given a military escort. We have to drive very, very carefully because the road is just littered with vehicle after vehicle that's been blown to pieces, not to mention craters left over from explosives and other debris from what has been nearly 9 months of an effort to reclaim this area and the city.
But the children of Kherson can't wait any longer to come outside, like Kirill and his friends. We are going to play hide-and-seek in those trenches once we're allowed to, he says. President Zelensky is wasting no time either.
President Zelensky, is this the beginning of the end of the war?
We're ready for peace, but our peace for our country is all our country, all our territory. That's why we are fighting against Russian aggression.
And will that be actually the beginning of the end of the war? Or maybe, to use Churchill's phrase, at least the end of the beginning? We'll talk about that with foreign policy expert Ilan Berman, who looks about how the Ukraine war will and can end. Coming up on the Medved Show.
If you're like most Americans, you can see things are out of control. Global problems have local consequences, too many of them. And if the next news headline spins us into chaos, you'd better be ready. Grocery store supply chains are only as strong as their weakest link. Don't wait for them to break. Today's the day to secure emergency food for everyone in your family. My Patriot Supply is America's largest preparedness company. Our specially packaged and delicious food stays fresh for up to 25 years in storage. It'll be there when you need it. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and pick up several emergency food kits. There are a dozen different sizes that average over 2,000 calories per day. As we all know, calories equals energy equals survival. And as you'd expect from a true preparedness company, our food kits are in stock and ship quickly. Those who know what's coming are preparing today. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
A strong storm system is moving across the United States towards the south. The Gulf Coast region may see heavy rain, large hail, and tornadoes. Forecasters also say most of the country will see colder temperatures this week as Arctic air sweeps into the lower 48. The Fed Reserve may soon slow the pace of interest rate hikes to rein in inflation. That's at least according to the Fed Reserve Vice Chair, who told Bloomberg News it will likely be appropriate to move at a slower pace of rate increases. Her remarks come after the central bank rolled out four consecutive three-quarter point interest rate increases over the past several months to cool record-high inflation. President Biden is continuing his overseas trip, the president meeting with the Chinese president on Monday. This is USA Radio News.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
Stock market has you nervous with massive fluctuations? With the impact of inflation and the upcoming midterm elections, it's virtually impossible to guess what will happen next. But with Vantage Point, you won't have to guess. Text MONEY to 813-813 to find out how you can forecast market trend changes with up to 87.4% proven accuracy. That's right, 87.4%. Text the word MONEY to 813-813 and find the consistency and confidence you've been looking for in your trading. Vantage Point's patented technology analyzes huge quantities of global data in seconds. No more guessing when to get in or out of a trade. Text MONEY to 813-813. We'll send you a link to our free live training. Protect your hard-earned capital with Vantage Point.
Trading involves financial risk and is not suitable for all investors. Past results do not guarantee future performance. By texting the word DEMO, you agree to the terms available at VantagePointSoftware.com/terms and consent to receive calls and text using automated technology or pre-recorded voice about offers or info by or on behalf of Vantage Point. Your consent is not a condition of purchase and can be revoked at any time. Message and data rates may apply.
Text MONEY to 813-813.
On the Michael Medved Show, Ilan Berman is the Senior Vice President of the American Foreign Policy Council in Washington, D.C. He is an expert on regional security in the Russian Federation, the Middle East, Central Asia, and more. He has consulted for the U.S. Central Intelligence Agency as well as the United States Departments of Defense and Departments of State. Ilan, a big day in Ukraine with President Zelensky. Greeted, well, something like a conquering hero in the crucial city of Kherson. The Russians retreating, not trying to hide the fact. Is it possible that that at some point within the next several months, we could see some conclusion to this horrible, bloody, and enormously destructive war?
Well, I certainly hope so. I think everybody hopes so. And it's looking more likely now than when we spoke just a couple of weeks ago, because it's clear that the Kremlin is revising its military strategy downward. When we talked in October, there was a lot of bluster coming out of Moscow about the potential use of tactical nukes. There was a lot of scrambling going on in Washington to try to figure out what Russia's next step might be. The U.S. and its allies, they held firm. They didn't capitulate. They didn't put pressure on Kiev to negotiate some sort of compromise as a result. And what turned out was that the Russians actually backed down. You're not hearing that sort of rhetoric coming out of Moscow. You're seeing a more pragmatic bent from the Russian government in terms of what it's planning to do in Ukraine. It's beginning to cut its losses. And so I think on balance, we're inching in that direction, although the actual form of what some sort of conclusion might take remains to be seen. One of the outstanding issues that I'm enormously curious about is how reconstruction is going to happen in Ukraine and who's going to pay for it. Ukrainian officials have already talked about the fact that they're going to ask for something like $300 billion at least from the Russian government for war reparations. And that number seems low, but that's the number of freely available assets that the Central Bank of Russia is estimated to have. But there's really no framework for such a reconstruction plan. So, you know, we're in uncharted territory right now.
And with that uncharted territory, I know that there's been a lot of speculation that because of the winter, and we're all feeling approaching winter, but they do particularly in Ukraine, that they would slow down their military momentum, as people traditionally do in wartime when it's winter there. But apparently that is not the case. Zelensky and company seem to be determined to press on through the winter. Is that accurate?
Well, no, that's accurate, and they're moving very fast, and there's a reason for that, because, you know, the sort of the calculus about the winter cuts both ways. It makes it difficult for the Russian military to maneuver in Ukraine. Ukraine has an infamous mud season, which we're beginning, you know, we're in the opening stages of now, where, you know, ground maneuvers, armored regiment maneuvers become almost impossible. But it's also getting colder. And so the idea of even a temporary slowdown of energy supplies emanating from Russia to the West is something that policymakers in the Kremlin really, I think, were banking on changing the mood in Europe and lessening support for Ukraine. So Zelensky's, you know, keeping both things in mind, and I think he's, you know, moving fast and trying to break things.
I don't know if how closely the policymakers and opinion leaders in Ukraine actually keep track of it, but we just had midterm elections here, obviously, and some of the most outspoken, not a penny more for Ukraine candidates got wiped out. The voting appeared to be very much in support, continued support for aid to our Ukrainian allies. Is that your perception as well?
No, I think that's right. And I can tell you, certainly from the Ukrainian officials that I talked to, they do watch this quite a bit, and there were more than a few sighs of relief. And I think this is correct, and I think it's incorrect. It's correct because you're absolutely right. The most vociferous critics of the sort of support for Ukraine as a reflection of Biden administration policy really went down in the polls. But there are real considerations that I think carry forward about the extent of U.S. aid to Ukraine, the fact that, you know, our economy is not in great shape, that there's a recession looming, even though the White House won't admit that there's a recession. We're all feeling it. And so I think there is a sort of a calculus that's being revised a little bit. It's certainly helped sort of shore up support for Ukraine, the fact that, you know, the candidates that persevered are really stalwart supporters. But I don't think the Ukrainians are counting on the fact that the trough is endless, is limitless.
Yeah, and speaking about the trough and keeping an alliance together, you have another piece recently about the Europeans seeming to take a more realistic view of Iran and to be coming closer to a United States position about the true nature of the Iranian regime. Talk about that.
Yeah, well, no, and I just came back from a couple weeks in Europe looking at attitudes towards Russia and Russia policy and attitudes towards the Middle East, in particular Iran. And I was really struck by, I think, two things. First of all, that to a really surprising extent, the European center of gravity is squarely in support of Ukraine, and not just in support of Ukraine in a tactical sense. There's, you know, every European official I talked to really deeply felt the idea that what we were witnessing was a Russian war against the West, and so we have to support Ukraine. So I found that enormously heartening. The other thing that I found really heartening was that because Iran has now waded into this conflict, because Iran is providing military material to the Russians, they're providing them with kamikaze drones that the Russians are lobbing at Ukrainian population centers, the Europeans are now waking up to the true nature of the Iranian regime. They figured out that Iran is all in on Vladimir Putin's war against the West. And so you're seeing this hardening of attitudes in Europe. And, you know, this is a pretty dramatic change, because not too long ago, the Iranians, no matter how badly they behaved, got what was essentially a free pass from the European Union under the assumption that, you know, if only the West engaged with Iran more, we can moderate their behavior. And I didn't hear that at all in the conversations that I had. And so I think you're seeing a really welcome stiffening of the spine in that regard.
And just a couple of hours ago, the headline says EU targets Iran's Revolutionary Guard over Russia war drones. The European Union has imposed sanctions on the chief of Iran's Revolutionary Guard, the Corps Aerospace Force, and a company making drones that the bloc says have been used by Russia. By the way, is there a lot of sentiment, pro-Russian sentiment in Iran? Are the people on the streets who are demonstrating against the evil regime of the mullahs, are they pro-Russian?
Well, no, they're not, but the regime certainly is. And this is where you get, I think a very clarifying divide. So when I was talking to officials in Europe, you heard a lot of all the proper sentiments about support for democracy in Iran, support for the protesters who are coming out on the streets and, repeatedly and in droves against the regime. But what you're also beginning to see is the fact that this dawning understanding that the regime is sort of, at fundamental variance with the people, right? It's not a regime that can be reformed. It's a regime that needs to be scrapped, that the people aren't looking for behavioral change. They're looking for regime change. And this is something that's resonating, I think, more deeply because all of a sudden, as a result of the Ukraine war, the Iranian government is doing things that we understand are bad, or the Europeans do.
And that damages the West and damages the cause of human decency. Appreciate Ilan Berman, always your insight and perspective. The most recent pieces by Ilan Berman are posted up at our website at michaelmedved.com. We will be right back on more of Biden's Asia trip coming up.
Medved.
In my opinion, he's the most powerful man in the world.
This is the Michael Medved Show.
History repeats itself, and we're seeing that play out with inflation. When Jimmy Carter took office in the late 70s, gold sold for $140 an ounce. Can you imagine? By 1980, the price of gold topped out at $870 an ounce. Now, if today's market performs like it did when Carter was in office, the price of gold could skyrocket from $1,800 an ounce to $9,300 an ounce. This is Michael Medved for AmFed Coin and Bullion. Don't miss out on a great opportunity to purchase precious metals while the prices are still stable. If history repeats itself, we'll see a run on gold, silver, and platinum that will certainly drive up prices. Be smart. Buy now. At AmFed, you're dealing with specialists who provide you with personalized attention, honest information, and sound advice. You'll never be pressured into buying outrageously priced so-called collectible coins or anything that you don't need. 800-221-7694, 800-221-7694, AmericanFederal.com. Presidents, wars, electoral landslides, Middle East conflicts, third parties, the Constitution, the founding, the revolution. That's all covered in special Medved history programs, which can be yours free if you join us as a Medhead Plus member. The cost is 22 cents a day for everything. And you have access to over 100 different subjects covered on Medved History Store programming. Check it out right now. It is a great opportunity. You also get the ability to hear the show anytime you want to go ahead and stream it and to listen to it and commercial free. Medhead Plus membership at our website. Go to michaelmedved.com. Look for the banner and a special offer, 20% off, limited time. Learn a lot. Costs, well, very little, 22 cents a day. Join us as a Medhead Plus member as soon as you can.
You don't sit behind a desk every day to earn a living. You're out and about making it happen. And sometimes you get a little bit behind on your paperwork, like bookkeeping and paying your taxes. It's easy to get behind on paying your taxes. It happens to the best of us. And you know what happens next. The big bad IRS comes knocking on your door. And when that happens, you need to call the good old boys at the Tax Doctor. Let them do what they do best. Deal and negotiate with the IRS so you pay the lowest you can in back taxes that the law allows. We are a 100% U.S.-based company, and we've saved our clients millions over the years in back taxes. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call my friends right now at the Tax Doctor and learn more.
800-507-3137.
800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. That's 800-507-3137.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Michael Medved Show, two bits of news. One of them bad news for the Biden administration, something they are going to hate to see. And no, this is not from Asia. It's not from Indonesia, where the president was meeting for 3 hours with Xi Jinping. This is from the St. Louis Eighth Circuit Court of Appeals, Federal Appeals Court, which has just reviewed and just issued a nationwide injunction which temporarily stops the Biden administration's student loan debt relief program. Boom! Stops it. Right in its tracks. The ruling by the Eighth Circuit Court of Appeals in St. Louis came after the states of Arkansas, Iowa, Kansas, Missouri, Nebraska, and South Carolina got together and argued in a lawsuit that the loan relief program threatens their future tax revenues and that the plan circumvents congressional authority, which it seems to me is a very substantive and sound argument. The court agreed with that. The injunction will remain in effect. In other words, they will be frozen, not allowed to continue with this debt relief program until further order of this court or the Supreme Court of the United States, the three-judge panel of the appeals court said in its ruling. And there's not only negative news for the Biden administration, but I guess you could call it sort of on the eve of his big announcement, good news for President Trump. The Washington Post is reporting that a review of classified documents recovered from Mar-a-Lago found that they offered no apparent business advantage to Donald Trump. This according to people familiar with the matter. Neither do FBI interviews so far, at least, point to any effort by President Trump to leverage, sell, or use the government secrets that he was holding without authorization. Instead, the former president seemed to be motivated by a desire not to give up what he believed was his property. Of course, the question is, was that belief reasonable? Does he have a legal case to actually try to convince future courts who will be hearing this matter? Because his indictment, I mean, Andy McCarthy has a piece that we're eager to speak to him about it. He says basically the indictment now of President Trump on holding these secret documents without authorization is virtually a sure thing. Virtually a sure thing. The only question is, will the Attorney General of the United States, Merrick Garland, will he do it himself in-house for the Department of Justice, or will he ask for a special prosecutor? Which is entirely possible. In any event, the ongoing interaction between the battles here in the United States and which are taking shape. A lot of people are wondering about the timing of Mike Pence's book, which we've spoken to him about. And excerpts have been printed in the Wall Street Journal. They've been printed in the New York Times. And former Vice President Mike Pence has his book released literally the day before his former boss makes a big, big, big announcement. I don't think the announcement is going to be about the wedding date of Donald Jr. and Kimberly Guilfoyle. The big announcement, unless this is the biggest tease in the history of American politics, is going to be about him running again in 2024. And Mike Pence's book, well, it apparently does not come out when you read the whole thing, and I've just read the excerpts, I haven't read the entire book. It is not flattering toward President Trump, particularly with his conduct on January 6th. It seems to me impossible to even imagine. And by the way, if somebody wants to make that attempt and talk about how you could get a great impression of President Trump's leadership on January 6th, we will be having Mike Pence back on our show a week from today. But today, in an ABC News exclusive promoting his new book, which is called So Help Me God, he actually talked about the tweet that Trump sent out. This is before he was banned from Twitter. Trump's tweet, which attacked him on January 6th as the mob was storming the Capitol, chanting, "Hang Mike Pence, hang Mike Pence." This is the former vice president on ABC, clip 5.
2:24 p.m., the president tweets, "Mike Pence didn't have the courage to do what should have been done." It angered me. But I turned to my daughter, who was standing nearby, and I said, "It doesn't take courage to break the law. It takes courage to uphold the law." I mean, the president's words were reckless. It was clear he decided to be part of the problem.
And is President Trump still part of the problem? There's actually a piece by Matt Continetti, who's been on our show many times. Matt is a wonderful and dispassionate historian of the conservative movement. He's not dispassionate about the conservative movement. He's a huge supporter of that movement, has been part of it for all of his adult life. And in terms of his book, which is called The Right, it's a 100-year history of the struggle to define what conservatism is. He has a new piece that says that the Republican revival that everybody wants has one central obstacle. We will be getting to that. There is this. The outgoing governor of Maryland, who Larry Hogan, a two-term governor, he was term limited, and he was, during all 8 years of his service, including some time he took out to deal with throat cancer. And Governor Hogan, Republican, was on CNN, and he is considered to be a possible long-shot challenger to President Trump and maybe even to Governor DeSantis. He said this about President Trump on CNN. This is clip 7.
That's the definition of insanity, is doing the same thing over and over again, expecting a different result. And Donald Trump kept saying, "We're going to be winning so much, we'll get tired of winning." I'm tired of losing. I mean, that's all he's done.
So you don't think that this is just a blip and that Republicans will return to being, well, it's kind of still the party of Trump, but embracing the party of Trump? You think this time is different?
You know, if you lose over and over again to what's really not that great of a team, you've got to reassess, is it time to rebuild? And you have to go back and think, how do we have a more hopeful, positive vision? How do we appeal to a broader group of voters? Because in some cases we fired up the base, but we turned off wide swaths of swing voters, and it's why we didn't perform.
And that's one of the concerns that Matt Continetti expresses as well. There's also this about President Biden talking about the international impact of the of what happened in the midterm elections, which he's talking now about within the context of the international leaders that he's been meeting with. This is at his news conference in Indonesia, clip six.
What we saw was the strength and resilience of American democracy. We saw it in action. The American people proved once again that democracy is who we are. There's a strong rejection of election deniers at every level, from those seeking to lead our states and those seeking to serve in Congress, and also those seeking to oversee the elections. And there was a strong rejection of political violence and voter intimidation. There was an emphatic statement that in America, the will of the people prevails. I've traveled this week. It's been clear just how closely the world and our allies and our competitors as well have been following our elections at home. Excuse me, I'm a little cold. And what these elections showed is that there's a deep and unwavering commitment in America to preserving and protecting and defending democracy.
And that's the President of the United States talking about the impact of the midterm elections. So what are the lessons of the midterm elections? We'll be talking, as I mentioned, to Matt Continetti. We'll also be speaking later to the senior political reporter for Axios, Josh Krauschauer, about the midterms that no one saw coming. What are the real truly shocking elements of those midterms? We will get to that and much more in this greatest nation on God's green earth.
Fred Dreyer here for a product I use and love, Balance7.com. Are you suffering with heartburn? Get relief from Balance 7. Most people are able to go back to eating the foods they enjoy with Balance 7. Please don't be stubborn. This really works. You're just a sip away from enjoying the foods you like. Try Balance 7 with a money-back guarantee. Do you suffer with joint discomfort? Getting out of bed in the morning feeling how stiff your body is and wondering how bad is it going to get as the years go by? Try Balance 7. It reduces the acid buildup in the body. In 3 days' time, you will feel a great improvement. Getting older doesn't have to mean it has to get worse. Use Balance 7. Go to Balance7.com or call 800-793-9039. That's 800-793-9039. Mention the code word FRED and get $10 off your order. Call 800-793-9039 and mention the code word FRED. Get heartburn relief and more with my favorite, Balance7.com.
Extendivite testimonials on Amazon are very informative. Here's just a few. Amazon customer, 5 stars. Honestly, this stuff works. Nick, easy to take capsules. For those who can't handle the liquid drops, easy to take Extendivite capsules do the same job. Karoka Fam, works great. Like Extendivite very much. Seems to work as advertised. Thanks. Arlene, 5 stars. Love this product, Extendivite. Terry W., 5 stars. Can't say enough. Great product. Freya, 5 stars. I just ordered another. To get your Extendivite today, go to Extendivite.com. That's Extendivite.com. Or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with Extendivite.